Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, my fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinny Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinny's jokes. And my very special guest joining us now, unmuting, is the lovely Antoinette James. Welcome.
Thank you, Vinny. Have we got a bit of delay on the line here?
One can only hope not, unless, of course, you're watching it live on some other tab on your browser, in which case you'll have some kind of a horrible feedback. But let's hope that's not the case.
I'm not thinking I am.
Fantastic. All right. So the title of today's show is Lifting the Lids in Our Heads, Antoinette James on the Vinny Eastwood Show. So I would like you to be, first of all, just quickly introduce who you are and what you do, darling, and then we're going to get into the promotion of this new little thing, this wonderful little conference with so many speakers. So go right ahead.
Hi, well, I guess a few people know me. I've been around the New Zealand awake scene for, well, particularly since 2019. I ran with NZPP back in the day, 2020, because they were the only party that identified the United Nations as the epicenter of all evil that we are living under at this stage. I mainly talked about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 on the campaign trail, and I then wrote a book, Under the Shadow, Agenda 21 in New Zealand. I wrote, published in 2019, a book called We Are Revolting, which looks at the geopolitical nightmare we're living in. And of course, you know, we need to push back, we need to revolt from that, but also the elite, those in rulership over us, or at least they see themselves in rulership over us, see us as pretty revolting. They're not really keen on the great unwashed. So I guess my husband and I, like many, many people, just put our lives to one side to make a difference for our children, their peers, and our grandchildren. I have a website, antoinettejames.com, that's being worked on again at the moment. Last 6 months, 7 months, I've started a Substack called The World We Live In, Antoinette James, and I look at the hidden hand in a lot of things that are going on around us. So back in 2020, I was hoping to do some kind of national conference as best as one can in a country that's made of two predominant islands. But I reached out to a few individuals, but nothing really came of it. At the end of 2022 in December, I managed to pull Lifting the Lid 01 off in a small, very short noticed way in Palmerston North. We had 70 plus people come to that day conference with different speakers on mainly looking at the COVID situation and also jurisdiction under He Wakaputanga. Last year, my husband and I were over sorting out a few family things in the UK. So not much was happening back here for us, or at least not on the ground. I was involved with Rainer Fulmuk and his international lawyers, just trying to facilitate what might happen here in New Zealand under He Wakaputanga jurisdiction. And also our local communities here. I was involved in a lot of Zooms on that while I was away. So I wasn't completely off the radar, as it were. We got back here end of last year, and I thought, cool, let's get Lifting the Lid 02 off the ground, if at all possible. So that's really what I've been working on this year. And thought I'd do a two-day conference. The reason why I think we need to have a conference in New Zealand is most Western countries do. I attended the AV conference, the Alternative View conference, in Milton Keynes with my husband in England last year. And America, they have conferences as well. It's a time when we the people can come together. We hear from we the people, but, you know, perhaps experts or people that have put a lot of research in. So we're not listening to someone that's been assigned a job from Wellington to come and speak to us. It's real people getting a grip on real issues, understanding them and delivering the latest for us so that we can be informed, educated in areas. For me, knowing what's happening takes a lot of fear out of things. It's the unknown that can be a little bit unhinging for us. So, yeah, so this year it's going to be in Taupo on the 2nd and 3rd of March, Saturday, Sunday of March. It's going to be at the Wairaki Resort, and we're really looking forward to it.
Excellent. So let me see, exactly what time? I mean, we need dates, details, names, places, you know, that kind of thing. Just the very, very basic and in short form for those who've got a short attention span, which as far as I know is most of the world.
These days.
Yeah. Yes. All right, so let's get on with that. So TikTok.
Okay, so I reached out to a few speakers and I got a great response back from everyone. So it's been absolutely marvellous. So on the Saturday, I'm going to be first up speaking on owning education, the education we know, particularly looking at schools, where did it come from, what's it all about, why perhaps might we want a different model. So I'm going to be looking into that, digging into history as I usually do, and then bringing up some ideas of where we may go from here, which really is back to where we once were, more the apprentice model of education. As a home educator, I understand the commitment there, and I also understand that that's not going to be for everyone. And so, you know, do not worry. There are ways that we can attend to our children and give them a proper education. I think it was, it'll come to me in a minute. He said, don't let school get in the way of your education, Mark Twain. And we just need to get a balance there. So I'm going to be talking about that. Then next up will be Admiral Gregory Cook. He's talking on Home Guard and the wonderful broad reach that this vision has for us as individuals, communities, and I guess out to the globe, Home Guard Global, he calls his organization. So it's very exciting. I've heard him speak once. And it's what a lot of us are trying to look for in our communities as we come together and recognize each other and make sure we're watching each other's back and supporting each other. So he's going to be talking about that more fully. Then we have Mary Byrne. She's talking on fluoride in our water, how we manage that. Taupo District Council at the moment are looking to bring fluoridation into the water. So that's something quite topical. Who do we have next? Then we have Carleen. And most of us know Carleen, and she's going to be giving us a pretty heavy talk on trafficking. And so we've left her or not left her, I put her on the end of the Saturday because it is quite a grave subject and a very sobering subject. So we can just unpack that as we go home. There'll be Q&A for most of these sessions as well. So you're just not sitting there listening to everyone. You have a chance to ask a few questions. Then we can go home. And then on the Sunday morning, I've got Dr. Lee Willoughby, and she's going to be talking on the future of medicine. So it's something we're all interested in. It's not the heavy reliance on pharmaceuticals. There are some pharmaceuticals that are good as part of your toolkit for health, but she'll be explaining the future of medicine a little bit more fully. Some people might kind of see it as functional medicine, but she'll unpack that more fully for us. Then after her, we've got Michael Fleck. He is a bit of an expert on wireless radiation and how we can keep ourselves safe in our homes and in our communities. Then after him, we've got Dean Keeper. He is talking on climate engineering. So we know a lot about that. I was listening or seeing a video very recently, mainstream media in America. The weather lady was starting to talk about what the American military are doing in the air. So, you know, no secrets there. I think we all know. It's been denied for a long time, but I think the mainstream are starting to realize the gig's up and are starting to explain a little bit more, not necessarily in its true form, but, you know, it's out there in the public now. So we'll hear a little bit more there. And then who most people may have met along with me when we've toured the country, but perhaps haven't heard him speak. And he's going to be speaking on Revelation Action. And it might sound more biblical, but it's something that all of us need to understand, because our philosophical seat of the West is Protestant Christianity. And that doesn't mean one needs to be a Christian. It's just that is its seat, and how that's being eroded is affecting us all, and also affecting disabling might be a better picture, particularly Christian community. So he's going to unpack that a little bit more, get back to the roots of that, so people can have a clearer picture. A lot of social media is throwing around the beast and all these dreadful things that are yet to come. He's just going to unpack that a little bit, take the fear out of it. A lot of the things we hear are a Jesuit philosophy, not biblical philosophy. So that will be quite a good one for all of us to sit and listen to. And so that's sort of it. Registration's at 8 a.m. sharp. We've got the flyer. You've probably got it there somewhere too, Vinny. You can pre-register to make sure you have a seat at liftingthelidnz.com. At gmail.com, all in small, and I or one of the team will answer you saying, yep, we've got you written down as having a seat. It's New Zealand, and we always know we get walk-ins. We got a lot of walk-ins down in Palmerston North in 2022, and they're very much welcome, but we just want to make sure those people that are really wanting to be there and are pre-registering with the RSVP get those seats first. So I think there's plenty of room for everyone, having said that, but we don't want to turn anyone away at the door.
Okay, so one thing, I like this idea of conferences, and Acapulco is actually kicking off today. I've got a little something playing on that soon enough. Having some technical issues back here for those of you watching the live stream, so just bear with us. The audio is still good, and I think that there's a vibe change when you go in person, and that's why I'd really like to encourage people to go to this conference, and more to the point, any conference. Any conference is actually really talking about the truth or aspects of it is something you should really be making an effort to get down to. And if just for the main reason is you just feel better you feel better being around people. You're not being called crazy for talking about things that are based in fact. And there's a willingness to just sit down and have conversations with people. And that's a totally aside from who you're going to see speak and what that information is going to do to you. Because I think when I went to see, what was his name, Paul Waddell, talking about EMF and Wi-Fi in the home, I put it up on my website as the most terrifying presentation that you'd ever have, because it's the biggest threat that's right in your face that you love, that you're using all the time, and it's killing you and messing you up in so many freaking ways, and it's absolutely everywhere and everybody's doing it. And I think there's just so many subjects that are like that. They're all ubiquitous, but they're all kind of like invisible threats. And once you know about them and do something about them, then that threat is no longer a problem. So getting that education level up and leveling yourself up, you know, in the video game sense of the word, you've got to become educated about a massive variety of topics because of the point of fact that a massive variety of the truth has been kept from you for your entire life. Now, for those people like me, it's just kind of like I've done my research. I'm in the game. And have been for a very long time. Love to go to these conferences because it tells me the things that I already know, and I get to meet people who are members of my tribe, you know. So there's different ways to enjoy conferences like this. So I'd like to give people a big encouragement to get out there and go down and do it. What was that email for, so people can get their
tickets? Liftingthelidnz@gmail.com.
liftingthelidnz@gmail.com. Now, you personally, you're speaking about what? Which topic again was it? The home care and of children?
Education. How our children are educated, whether they're in, you send them out of the home or not. And why we're being so dumbed down. It's a deliberate attempt to dumb us down, keep us, you know, ill-informed and with the wrong information and just enough to do the jobs they want the plebeians to do. So that's what I'm going to be talking on. But I must say that most people that are registering at the moment are coming for both days, but you can just do one if you're not going to find the time to do both days. So you just register in the morning and you'll get a name tag with a color code and you'll be away. We're hoping to have some tables set around the back of the conference hall so that you can talk to some of these speakers. If there aren't too many numbers wanting to speak to them, hopefully you'd be able to get a chance. There'll be literature, some free, some to purchase. What else? Some people are, they're doing freedom camping, I've heard. Some people are coming as a little group and from the East Coast, and have one group that's coming over, and I think they're doing an Airbnb for that group. So there's different ways to do it, because I know everything comes down to cost in the end. There is a camping ground in Taupo. So I think there's about 45 or 50 a night there. So there's different ways of doing this. Some people have got friends and they're just, you know, family. The old phone call and finding a sofa to couch on for the night or two. So, yeah, it's a great time of networking and, as you say, getting to see and meet other members of the tribe.
The reason I say that is essentially because most of us are alone the majority of the time with our thoughts by ourselves and often not encouraged. And I was on a call with the Ground Zero radio hosts and crew yesterday, and Clyde Lewis said that my show is kind of like a therapy session. For some people have been telling them this, that like Vinnie Eastwood's my therapist, and I'm like, okay, First of all, thank you very much. Well, wow, that's a great compliment. And second of all, that's very dangerous. Because goodness knows how far wrong you could go if you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show. It was the whole idea that, you know, when you feel really bad in your life or something like that, and then you hear about some guy who's got no arms and no legs, who is living life to the fullest and like surfs waves and stuff like that, and you suddenly don't feel quite so bad about yourself. It's like the Vinnie Eastwood show is kind of like that for conspiracy theorists, because, you know, no matter how bad it is with child trafficking, Satanists everywhere, and enslavement mechanisms through Agenda 21 technocratic control grid being forced into your blood via the airways and graphene oxide self-replicating nanotube system, you know, the Vinnie Eastwood show is always so much worse than all of that, so you can just and refreshed. That's what we aim to provide here. And so, Antoinette, did you go into politics last year?
2020 I did. I'm not a political person at all, but I just felt compelled to stand up. I didn't do it last year, 2020. This time I've decided to just stay in Hewakaputanga jurisdiction for myself. It's not a cop-out. I just chose to put my energy in that area. So, I didn't vote for the first time in my adult life.
Man. I think how politics has changed in the landscape, and how people have viewed it has changed. And I think it was sort of like there were these three incidents here that really changed the landscape. Number one was this national government that just rides roughshod over everything and the left protesting against them. And then the left coming into power, riding roughshod everything, and the left saying silent about it. And then new political hope actually starts coming in, talking about the real truth, and then gets sabotaged and demonized and absolutely destroyed and deleted.
Yep.
Right? Those three things.
2020 and last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those three things were just like, okay, there ain't no political solution. I mean, it's not possible, is it? That they've managed to close the gates. They've managed to tighten all the loopholes. So even if somebody was genuine and did want to do the job, you know, well, they're constrained by so many things in the first place, and now all these things in the second place. So there's literally nobody you could ever vote for that would actually ever give you a skerrick of hope. But there'd be plenty of people you could vote for to placate yourself. I wonder now, in terms of action, you can educate yourself so much that you become rendered inert, and the only thing you want to do is just learn, and you never actually get into the teaching or the application thereof, the things of which you are learning. Could you talk about that for a moment here? Because it's, yeah.
Yeah. I'll just step back and then I'll talk, because what I need to also let your audience know is lifting the lid, say $30 each day. We've tried to keep it as low as we can because of that. We've had to hire the facilities, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want people thinking that, you know, to turn up at the door and not realizing that it is a paying conference. So I just pop that in. But yes, I think that's what this conference is going to look at as well. Several of the speakers will come up with solutions because we need the solutions. And I think just the mere fact we're having a conference like this, we're coming together, we're networking, we're eyeballing each other, we're doing the face-to-face, so we're seeing our community is part of the answer, because it's got to happen at our level, down at grassroots level. It's about us coming together and finding our solutions for our communities and extended communities. And for me, Heiwakaputanga is definitely part of that. It's a jurisdiction that steps out of the corporation jurisdiction. We can have a foot in each camp at this stage, but we can step out of a corporation jurisdiction in our local community or our area. Having said that, we need to be wise. We don't want to be doing anything silly that can raise a red flag and the corporation come in heavy. But there are always solutions. Always. There's always loopholes. There's always a back door. We know that with internet and et cetera. And same with legislation and the legal system. There's always back doors. And as we come together in communities, I know several people that can speak into some of these loopholes or back doors. And with Heiwakaputanga being a jurisdiction that has endurance, it's even Rainer Fulmick and his international lawyers scrambled all over that, and they deemed it fit for service. So it is something that's solid there. So that's another a tool, as it were. Admiral Gregory Cook, what he's suggesting, if you come and listen to him, you'll be absolutely fascinated and you'll be so encouraged and you'll go home feeling we've got this. Because at the end of the day, it's up to we the people. And I've said before, a swarm of flies just biting at a den of lions can wipe out a whole den. We're very much smaller than the lion, but it's the numbers. And for us, it is a numbers game. So there's plenty of hope. And I wouldn't be in this fight if I thought we were going to go down the gurgler. We're not going to end up as a one world order. Certainly that's where they're wanting us to go. They want to take us back to the Dark Ages. They want us back to around the 13th century. But I think the awakening internationally is there. And with you talking at this conference in, was it Acapulco? Yeah, we're networking internationally. And so we've got other nations looking at us and keeping an eye on us. And this is how we're going to win the day. And win the day we will. But it's for everyone to step up and say, yep, I'll be part of that. It might be in a small way. I do what I do that is of interest to me and within my my lifestyle that I can sustain. Because we've all got lives, we've got family and work, we've got a lot to accommodate in our lives every day. So we find what we can do that fits into our model. And if you're retired, well, step up, there's lots for you to do. And working people, even though it might be volunteering, it's inspiring for yourself, it's motivating, it keeps you young, and there's, you know, we're needing people with wisdom that can step forward in our communities and just be there as overseers, as caretakers, as people that can speak in wisdom. But together we must come. Otherwise, we will stay isolated and then we will be conquered.
Now, the way you speak and the way I speak and think about the issues that we speak and talk about is very, very different from how the average uneducated person might conduct themselves, as it were. And that's probably because things have happened to you and things have happened to me that haven't happened to these people yet. And so what is it that changes us from being who we were, if we weren't awake already, into what we are now? And in my opinion, it's not information that does that, it's emotion, and particular trauma. You've got to be traumatized by the system in some irreparable, unjustifiable way before you start to even become suspicious that there might be something wrong. Because once you're suspicious and your suspicion is not laid to rest with a reasonable explanation, or, in fact, what's reason? What's logic? You see, what it is a wonderful group of terms in order to kerfuffle people with a bunch of bumbling misdirection. And that way, people are so confused that they don't know if their suspicion is actually suspicion or if they're just mad. And they like to encourage people to believe that they're mad. And, you know, it's a simple fact that you're not crazy. It's the world that is crazy because the world is run by crazy people. Okay, sweetheart, it's not that difficult to figure out, but it is a difficult thing to accept, isn't it, Antoinette?
Yes, it is. I think, you know, you've had a big time trauma with your internment, shall we say, but it's all relative. Sometimes it could just be something with our family, or it could even be just a traffic fine or something that traumatizes us, and we see that we're actually up against something that is, well, tyrannical. You know, years ago you'd get a warning and it was a polite, you know, be careful as you travel, but now it's just they're coming down on us all the time. But I think that trauma has got to inspire you to get out of your fear, because I think trauma and fear go together, and you need to decide that you're not going to be in fear anymore. And I think once you've conquered that, you're a lot better off. And for me, way back, I mean, looking at over 10 years ago, when I first nervously got on Facebook just to touch base with a few people, the fear of being out there, the fear of the internet was awful. In fact, I remember making one little comment on something once about overpopulation, which I don't think we are overpopulated as a planet, and I was thumped with all these comments, and I was so frightened I didn't go back on Facebook for weeks. I was so traumatized. But it's fear. We've got to get over that fear and then realize actually we can cower here and it's all over, or we can meet them at the gates, as Jordan Peterson says. It's better if you meet them at the gates. If you cower, it doesn't go back. It doesn't go so well for you. So we have no options. We've got to get out there.
It's courage, ostensibly, because people who are brave don't have an absence of fear. What they have an absence of is cowardice. Cowardice is when you're afraid of something, and being afraid of something is enough to make you stop yourself in your tracks and do the right thing.
But a touch of reality, actually, you know, I'm not going to die, you know, just because sometimes that courage comes with, you know, the fear that that's me finished or whatever. I mean, it can be if you really put yourself out there big time. But for the average person, just doing our pushback in our community, for our community and our family, courage, but there is nothing to fear.
Yeah, I mean, apart from getting deplatformed, getting arrested, having to go through court, losing most of your friends. All right, so this is the thing. Coming out for the truth is like coming out and becoming a hardcore born-again Christian. People get tired of your ranting. You're always talking about the same thing. They don't invite you out to the parties anymore.
You do the babysitting.
It becomes a real chore, life, because the entire world is so satanic in nature and so conspiratorial in nature that if you become a hardcore Christian or a conspiracy theorist, you find that you don't fit in with society because it's a satanic conspiracy, you see? And so I wonder what the point is for a lot of people who are living their life. Like in the Western world, we suffer from depression and suicide and stuff like that way more than in other much older cultures. And I think that's because the whole individuation, the whole separation from the community and any kind of daily thing, like, do you know 100 of your neighbors? You're right. That sort of thing. Back in the day, people did, right? They knew everybody, and everybody knew what you were up to. So if anything bad was happening to you, you'd have heaps of people talking to you about it and helping you out with it. Now what we have is, I've got a trauma or a something, something, and such, and blah, blah, blah. So now I'm going to complain about it on social media and make it worse by involving a whole bunch of people who aren't actually part of my community, don't really know me, and don't really care about me, in an effort to get people to know me and care about me when they don't.
That's right.
And then wonder why you collapse in failure and misery and self-denial and suicide, right? It's kind of like a mechanism. Who was it that told me about this? I think it was Mark Passio, that they created a false Christianity and they created a false Satanism, so that if you got into either one of them, you would realize that it was full of crap, and then go to the other one, not only to realize that that was full of crap too, right? So everybody has two lies that they're living in the spectrum of, and right in the middle of that spectrum is the truth, where nobody wants to hang out with you. Because we're not living lies.
No, well, that's right. Well, I mean, we've been herded to this point. The whole herding since really World War II, we lost a lot of our men. Well, I'd say the Industrial Revolution took the men out of the homes. Then World War II took the women out of the homes because we had to get into industry to support the men at war. And around that time too, schools took the children out of the homes. So our homes, we don't have homes. We have houses that we all sleep in and eat in and maybe have a few conversations and perhaps share the same surname. And then everyone's back out there. So that's been a slow herding. And television's been the other thing to destroy that ability to talk, internet, cell phones, all that type of thing. So we're becoming more and more used to just expressing ourselves artificially out, as you say, into the ethernet, and the real people around us that really are the only ones that really love us, we're shunning, and through the construct of degeneration gap, and it goes on and on and on, and the destruction of the cement of our cultures, we just find ourselves as little individuals floating around. And that's where a conference like Lifting the Lid will just ground you back with what's important, and that's community. And then hopefully you'll be inspired to go and touch base with those people that are awake in your geographical area and start catching up. And whatever that means for you. There are some communities I have friends in that are very much knitted together. And then other communities that are like the community I'm in, that's a lot more looser. We get together, we know where each other are, but we're all so busy in our little, in our paths, doing our pushback and whatever organization or group that might be. But if we needed each other, if something happened overnight, we would, be able to spring back into operation and be that community to make sure that people are fed and people's health, that our elderly are not neglected. So that's what it really is about, is pushing back against the herding that's been going on for, well, you're looking probably 150 years. And because it's gone on for so long, we see the world around us as being normal. But in the West, we're not in touch with our ethnicity. We're in touch with the globalist ethnicity, the globalist culture. And we just need to find ourselves back to where we were before we were hijacked, whether it's Scottish or Dutch or German, Maori. They haven't been had their culture ripped from them for a number of hundreds of years that some other cultures. But So they're hanging in here in New Zealand. We've got a lot to learn there. But we were once like that. But even Māori, Pākehā, non-Māori, we've all got to find our way back to community and back to caring and being around those people that have an interest in us and we in them.
Indeed. I have this more hopeful phase coming, right? The last couple of years, maybe 5 years in a row, it feels like, ever since 2019 of the Christchurch Mosque Massacre, ever since then, it's been really tough, if you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
All right, and it's been tough on everybody, you know, lockdowns and so on and so forth, and goodness knows the people who didn't make it out with their health intact, or their lives for that matter, but that's a side issue. I think that this year is the year where things aren't going to be quite so bad as they were, if only because the rulers of mankind know that if they just keep hammering us and hammering us and hammering us, we'll revolt. And so what they do is they hammer you really, really hard until you're just about to revolt. You're just about angry enough. And then they lax off for a little bit. And you're like, oh, okay, sweet. I can live my life again. I'm not a slave or anything. And yes. then they come back.
Well, they will. That's what this coalition government is, you know. And I've heard people say, oh, look, they're going to do this and they're rewinding that. And I just remind people that they're giving us little crumbs. We've been on starvation rations for the last 6 years. And so the little crumbs they give us, we think's a feast. It's not. They're just dealing with a few small picture areas that sure may relate to us, but the big picture carries on. So when they change government next time, they can just pick it up where they let off. This is just a commercial break that we're experiencing.
Yes. Your regular tyranny will return in a moment after these messages from our scumbaggery. You know, and you know, that is how it works. And when people were telling me, oh, Vinny, they're going to get rid of Three Waters, I was like, no, they're not. They're going to withdraw it for a short period of time.
Call it something else when it comes back.
Yep. Rewrite a few of the clauses so that they mean exactly the same thing that they used to. And then pass it at 4 o'clock in the morning when there ain't nobody there in opposition to challenge it. And then they won't even implement any of the policies. They'll wait until the next government with left cover, who will then implement the policies that the right-wing frickin' bastards passed.
That's right.
And then blame the right wing for what they are now doing. Even though we're a sovereign parliamentary dictatorship where no parliament can bind any future parliament. It's a perfect circle. We've got it.
It is. Good cop, bad cop. We believe it, sadly.
Yeah, it's like having a porn star economy where everybody's getting screwed.
It is.
I can't say that I feel overly rosy about what's coming, because what we've seen thus far, it appears brighter every day to me by comparison to what's about to happen. And I think fear, you were talking before about fear. What is it used for, right? And what are the responses to it? And you have, I think, what was it, 5 responses. Fight, I'm going to kill this thing. Flight, oh my God, let's get out of here. Freeze, just don't move. Maybe it'll go away. Submission, yes sir, I'll do what you want, sir. And then attach, oh yes sir, I'll do whatever you want. All right, so and I think the people who run mankind are adept at getting that final stage.
Oh yeah.
you see? Can you explain that a little bit to people, just how they can be, like, trained, like a dog, right, to be this way?
Are you talking about the rulers or us? Well, both.
Column A, column B, whichever.
Yeah. Well, I think this has gone on for millennia. From what I understand from historians, is it happened even before the pagan Roman Empire even was a twinkle in anyone's eye. And that was by the Venetian nobles. And that's when they had the Delphi and the Sibyl, and people would come to the priests and ask, you know, am I going to be able to win this war? What time should I go to war? All that type of thing. But these nobles, they actually controlled the whole thing. It was a show. So they would get the information, because everyone trusted them because they were priests, and they got the big picture. So they were able to understand the psychology of the different factions, and then they would say yes, no, war this time, or don't war this time, and if you're going to be destroyed. So if they paid more money, then they could go back to the Sibyl, the Delphi, and get her to predict something better for them. So this kind of psychology of man is that the elites have a knowledge of, has been slowly built up over millennia, so that if we fast forward to the Nazi regime, for example, and then even before that, when you're starting to look at Freud and the Frankfurt School, they were all they're academics, and they're understanding the way we think and how to guide us and herd us. So then after World War II with Operation Paperclip, we got all those Nazis over to the newly formed CIA and FBI, and they have basically carried on through the millennia what happened way back at the Delphi millennia ago. So now we have nudge units, and we have that here in New Zealand as well. It's called BIT, B-I-T. Can't quite remember what that stands for now, but we have people that are trained here in New Zealand to know the psychology. Hollywood's a big part there. Everything we read, the right words that need to be said, the reshaping of words. It is an art form, and we would underestimate the eloquence of it. So we need to understand, if we don't connect ourselves back to community, connect ourselves back to our ethnicity, those what our culture was based on in the West, Protestant Christianity. And the reason I say that is because Protestant Christianity is the only philosophical seat that says you can be whoever you want, you can believe whatever you want. Catholic model in Europe is top down. The Islamic model in the East is top down. But particularly when you look at the founding fathers of America, you see a very sharp contrast to what Protestant Christian philosophical seat looks like. And we need to hurry up and get back to that, because that is being wiped off the table. As you said before, it's not you're not popular if you're a Christian. That was one of the first things that was vilified coming out of World War I, World War II. You destroy all your men and your leaders, and then you can start destroying your culture. And it's said that politics is downstream of culture, and culture is downstream of religion. So we need to get back to what religion or spiritual experience or spiritual reality that we want, so that our culture and our politics will be safe. And from what I've seen, Protestant Christianity is that spiritual or that religion that gives the most freedoms. It certainly has made the West incredibly prosperous. And until the Rockefellers got their hands on us in the early 1900s, and particularly coming out of World War II, things changed a lot. Anyone could be whoever they wanted to be, succeed in life. You could raise a family, have a holiday, have a mortgage and one income. Things changed very quickly. And that started with Rockefeller getting into seminaries and into the, mainstream religion, not that I'm into that, but and changed the course of the West's religion. Once you change that, once you realize that we're not made in the image of God, once you're at least taught you're not made in the image of God, you're taught that our lives are nothing, we can abort our babies. Once your religion says that, then your culture will express that and politics will reinforce that. So we've got to get through this globalized elite culture that we think is ours and get back to our own cultures, which cared for our elderly, cared for our young, cared for the vulnerable.
So it's kind of like social engineering, really. Yeah. You can, here's what I want to build. You know, you could be building a car, you could be building a house or something, but what you're really building is an entire systemic network that would coerce people into a particular way of living. Yeah. Prevent them from ever really looking at the alternative as something that is cool or something that is fun or something that is beneficial or something that has historically paved the way for all human freedom. You know, you don't want to look at certain religions in that way. But the concept here, if I may, is how do you turn a human being into a battery? All right, a battery for an engine, just like the old Matrix was saying. And if you can prevent people from saying the word no, if you can prevent people from having staunch morality, that makes them far easier to use up as an energy source. The problem is, without the ability to say no, without morality, you have no real grounding and you have no real sense of yourself and what really belongs to you. All right, you don't think that you're a king or a little god or a little goddess or something of that nature. You think that you are property because you have to go and you have to do what you were told to do. Yes. You've lost your agency, you've lost your autonomy. If you believe that somebody else's word is law and that you are virtuous for abiding by it, that's how they can keep control of you forever.
Yes, and that starts in childcare. That's the whole purpose of childcare. It's got nothing to do with, you know, allowing that mum to get out to work if she needs to. No, no, no. Isolate the children, get them used to, from day one, coming under the obedience of someone else. Shoot. And then school takes it on and uni, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what childcare is about. And there's quotes, I haven't got them to hand, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, got to get those children. I mean, I think it's even, is it Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars? I think it might be even say there, you've got to get those children out of the home. They've got to be isolated from the virtues and values of that family. We've got to put state virtues and values on them.
Mm. That book, by the way, Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars, or was it Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars? Who cares? It's irrelevant. It was on the bookshelf of former Prime Minister, now Dame Jacinda Ardern.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
No.
Required reading.
Yes. Yes. Like, darling, this is what we're doing. Here's your textbook.
Yes. Yeah. We'll send a memo each morning so you know what page you're on to.
Yep. It's a playbook, right? And once you know what Agenda 21 is about and how all-encompassing it is and how well they've thought out this scheme, then it should be utterly no surprise to you whatsoever. What? Somebody's got the ability to control everything I do and say and speak and think and forever and all time in the entire world? That's impossible. No, it's not. It's impossible if you don't put an effort into it. It's impossible if you don't know how to use technology. It's impossible if you don't got the scumbaggery. All right? But if you do got the scumbaggery, and you do understand the psychology, and if you do got the technology, it's everything but not possible, okay? It is coming for you. It is being set up as we speak. It's probably already watching you and listening to you right now, just for that time that you slip and say, oh, I'm going to go do this, and then pow, they come down with you with a drone strike, and you won't That's see right. it coming, okay? Did you know that those drones are like 10 kilometers away when they fire those missiles at you, and they're not that big? You can't even see them.
No.
You won't even hear the rocket before you blow up because it moves because it moves faster than the speed of sound, okay? Just yep. everywhere and always, you know, these people are talking about, I'm gonna get a tiny home, I'm gonna survive this. One yeah. hellfire missile, bro. All right.
Yeah. Someone's got a selling shares in an island. And I just thought, my goodness, you know, just need one tsunami and it's all over, people. You know, the thing is, we can't escape. We're here. You know, you're saying about fear. Do we fight or flight? But there is no flight left. There is nowhere we can go. We're here. We've got to push back right where we are now. And definitely it's about, you know, just thinking, I am the bulwark between my children being total slaves or their freedom. And it stops here. You've just got to make that call. And I think this is the wonderful thing. Not that I'm kind of, well, I suppose I might be on the bottom end of that. But, you know, we're looking at all these baby boomers. What an amazing time to be alive if you're a baby boomer. We need you. You are a good-to-go army. You knew what it was like. You can see what it's happening now. You've seen your children grow up. You're probably thinking, why are my grandchildren so reckless? Why aren't they? Where's their manners? You know, you've seen what it was and what it is. And we need everyone, particularly, I think, retired people that have got time on their hands to put something, you know, into this pushback so that we've got our children have got a future.
Mm-hmm. You got to put that $500 a week that you get from your superannuation to some good use, ladies and gentlemen, like seriously. And at this point in time, what is it? It's 2024. In 20 years, maybe 30 years, almost everybody, and I mean almost everybody, who knew what stuff used to be like will be dead.
Yep.
Okay? And then there's nobody to tell you the stories, nobody to say things like, back in my day, all right, there won't be anybody around to remind anybody who's still alive what used to be. And that means all the children that get grown up will only believe what they're told to believe.
That's right. And it'll be the new normal. I think it was George Bernard Shaw said, you know, that the new normal will not be normal at all, but because everyone's going to be like that with the way they view life, the way they view themselves, their mental health, that's going to look so much different than what it used to look like, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. So we've got to get a grip and get a grip fast.
Indeed.
And change things. You know, I say to my children, do what you want to do in life. This is your one life, but, you know, don't be a slave for the man. Think about, what do I really want out of life? What do I want? You know, we're put on this treadmill of school and uni, and then we've got to fight our way up the corporate ladder or whatever. Women have got to be out there in the workforce. You know, children are left at home, latchkey children letting themselves in. You know, everything is coming back to bite, but it's not too late to wind it back. If we can start putting a few priorities and just thinking, you know, what are our priorities, and not being so egocentric. You know, it's all about me, me, me. Every time you turn on television, Hollywood, everything is about me, and oh, I deserve it. And you know, there's no public spirited, there's no community togetherness that's coming out of any literature. Most of the literatures have all been edited. And we know Ahern, was it 70,000 book burning she took from the libraries? And that's what all the stories that will come out from the baby boomers as they get promoted, that they'll all be stuffed, probably down in the Vatican library, never to resurfaced. And history will be edited again. It continually is, in fact. Look at mainstream media.
Yeah. I had that thought the other day that, hey, I've made it into the newspapers. I'm technically a historical figure. Because whenever anybody goes out and researches history or something, what do? They go to the news articles and stuff like that. And what are they going to see about little old Vinny Eastwood? He was a conspiracy theorist. He got arrested. And that's it. All right? And that's the only thing. But I've done so many other things too. Yeah. But it's just not fair, ladies and gentlemen. Life ain't fair, they say. Unless you are a fair person to other people, all right? And I think that we haven't got the morality just in general in human society to create a decent one at the moment, all right? There just aren't enough people with a backbone and courage and true care. There just aren't enough. And those people have to be created. They have to be schooled. They have to be indoctrinated into the ways of the Force, as it were. And understand that scumbaggery, that while it may sound a little bit of funny, might sound like an onomatopoeia, because it kind of sounds like what it is, you know, like pop or splash. And in such a way, the way that people are living their lives is becoming an expression of how they're being indoctrinated. And they're being indoctrinated by scumbaggery and then being shocked when people call them a scumbag. It's like, actually, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you.
New legislation. Stop people bullying us. Are we poor politicians?
Those poor dears, really.
I know, sad.
Somebody needs to wipe their mouth and change their nappy. These poor dears.
Mm.
All right. With that being said, on that high note, we're now going to close off the show. I completely forgot to promote my works and everything like that, ladies and gentlemen, because I was just like, I just love talking to Antoinette. She's great. So if you go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, that's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, because there's only the one Vinny Eastwood show. And go in there, and there's a Kiwi Bank number for those of you who want to set up some automatic payments, all right? $5 a week, $10 a month, $100 a month. That'd be lovely as well. Every single cent, every single piece of equipment, the green screen behind me, the lights that are lighting it up, the three computers in front of me, the modem that is providing the internet for them, the posters of the walls, the shirt and the jacket that I'm wearing, my underpants, ladies and gentlemen, everything that you see on the Vinny Eastwood show has been given by people who watch the show. All right? In some way, shape, or form, the very food that Vinny Eastwood eats is down to you. So, the question is, do you think Vinny Eastwood deserves to eat today, tomorrow, or something of that nature? So please, to start up a little automatic payment. You might not think it's much. You might think, oh, this is only $1 a month, it's not going to make any difference. Yeah, but there's a lot of other people who think that if it didn't make a little bit of difference, but they all did it, and then they all did make a difference. You see? All those little bits, all those wonderful words of encouragement that we receive on the show, because it is not an easy thing to do a show that talks about serious things and keep it fun. That's not easy. If it were, everybody would do it. This industry of truth is so serious and so traumatizing and so difficult to get through, and sometimes you just need to see something that's even worse than that in order to make yourself feel better about it. And that's why the Vinnie Eastwood Show is here, to be worse than all of the child trafficking Satanists combined. And if you also can support my band on Patreon, we're making some tracks and things of that nature. Maybe you'll enjoy my music, maybe you won't. You probably won't. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show today. Thank you very much, Antoinette, for your time as well. And last thing, just before we go, very, very quickly, what is that email? What is the time and location of the conference, please?
Right. It's March the 2nd and 3rd, Saturday and Sunday, 2nd and 3rd of March. Start registering at 8 a.m. That's when you pay your $30 a day. It is at Wairaki Resort, Taupo. It's just going to be a great time. I really encourage everyone to come. If you've seen me on the show today, do tap my shoulder and say that you were on the show watching Vinnie and I. That would be really cool. I don't always remember names, but I really enjoy meeting people all around the place. So, yeah, come. Lifting the Lid NZ at gmail.com. liftingthelidnz@gmail.com. Just email us there, say that you're coming, and we'll make sure your seat's reserved. That's all you need to do. And then you register at 8. Try and get there nice and sharp, because we've got a lot to get through. There are flyers. I don't know if you've got a flyer there, Vinny. I think I might have sent you one, but that perhaps just throw that up somewhere.
Let me just do that on the share screen for a moment. Here we are. All right, it's up on screen for people now. Left in the Lid conference, mate.
There it is. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, with that being said, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show today. And we will see you again sometime at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. I have, major technical difficulties today, ladies and gentlemen, so I apologize for that, but the audio is still good. If you don't have audio, you don't have a show, they say, especially if you're in radio. And thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, my fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes.